This chapter gets to the heart of some of the things that the Apostle Paul had been addressing to the Corinthians. They had gone down so many sidetracks. They thought that these things were really super important. They would consider certain passages of Scripture and elevate them far beyond what their position was. Instead of focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ, they went down these other meadows, these other paths. And the Apostle Paul was challenging them. He was telling them, you need to come back to the gospel. And in this chapter, he finally says, okay, I'm laying it out for you. I'm making it very plain to you that this is what you need to understand. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. He says, I might sound foolish to you, but listen, bear with me. I've got a plan here. I've got something that I need to tell you. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Did you know that jealousy can be godly? Usually, jealousy doesn't carry a very good term, idea, does it, at all? But there's a jealousy that's, God is jealous for his people in this way. That if I belong to the Lord and I start going off into sin, he's jealous for me in that he wants to win me back. Because he knows that sin will destroy me. He knows that it will ruin me. And so that's the kind of jealousy that it is. It's a caretaking jealousy. It's a jealousy that is not a jealousy of hate, not a jealousy of wickedness, but it's a jealousy of love. It's a love that says, I must look after my own. I must care for my own. I must look for every opportunity to make sure that they are safe. And Paul says, I'm jealous after you with a godly jealousy because I betrothed you to one husband. I got you engaged to one husband. And who's the husband? Jesus Christ. And the picture that's given here in betrothal is the picture of engagement. And in their culture, in the Jewish culture specifically, when people got engaged, it was a serious thing. It wasn't like, you know, when you got engaged, if you wanted to get disengaged, you had to have a divorce. Even though they weren't actually husband and wife together, where the marriage ceremony had not yet taken place. In order to break this, you had to get a divorce. Do you remember when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant? She was his betrothed wife. And it actually tells us that he was considering getting her a bill of divorcement for what had happened. But because he thought, you know, she must have been with somebody else. And so when it speaks here, when he says, I betrothed you to one husband, he says, you've been engaged, which is you're married, but the marriage has not been consummated yet. And in one sense, we, the bride of Christ, are waiting for the coming of the Lord for the fullness of the consummation of our marriage, but we're already betrothed to Christ. You get the picture that's given here? And so Paul says, listen, I betrothed you to one husband, then I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is his picture that he's giving here. And so this is the godly jealousy that he has. He's concerned for them because they've been wandering away from Christ. Now, what's tricky about this is that they're wandering away from Christ, but they actually think that they're doing super good as Christians. Look what it says. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, I'm concerned that just as Eve was deceived by the devil's craftiness, that you too are being deceived and you're moving away, you're being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, that doesn't say that Christ is a simple person. What it's saying is that the gospel is not complicated and that it is there's a sense of the purity and the accuracy of this gospel message. Don't move away from it for a second. No matter who comes along, no matter what message they have. And let me tell you something. Usually, when religion gets developed, apart from the Bible, it gets very complicated indeed. and things begin to be, all rules and regulations begin to grow and multiply, and concerns over issues that really don't matter become the central issue instead of the gospel. It becomes the focus instead of Christ and Him crucified. And that becomes the emphasis. And Christ and Him crucified becomes pushed over to the side. And He says, I don't want your minds to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I don't want you to be moving away from this gospel. I don't want you to move away. And of course, He's been telling that the whole time, has He not? But here He lays it out and He says, I'm afraid lest somehow the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. That is deceived, right? Easy to be deceived is what's happened here. For then He gives a statement here, and this one is amazing, because He says, for if he who comes preaches, there are three things mentioned here. What is it? First, another Jesus. Well, are there other Jesuses around?
In name only.
In name only. Another Jesus, He says. How can there be another Jesus? Well, you see, if I look in the Word of God, and I accept the Jesus of the Bible, that's the only Jesus that I need to put my faith in. But if somebody comes along and says this, you know, things about Jesus that aren't in the Bible, and that's why I'm very cautious. I am. There are books out there called Jesus Calling, which are nice books in one way, but in another way, they are putting words into the mouth of Jesus to some extent. Saying, and I know that there are scripture verses that you can look to, and that's okay if it's a translation or if it's something, but you have to be very careful to stand up and begin saying what Jesus said if it's not what He said. The Bible itself and the truths that are in the Word of God, those are sufficient to reveal the words of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to know somebody else saying Jesus said something that's not in the Bible. It has to be in the Word of God. Otherwise, where do we go? Otherwise, we'll end up with another Jesus. And people have different ideas of who Jesus is. I've talked to people who don't even believe in Christianity, but they believe in Jesus, they say. And we believe that the teachings of Jesus are profound. But when you discover what they think the teachings of Jesus are, they're far away from what the reality of the Bible says. Because we know that the Jesus of the Bible, His whole focus was the cross. We know that the Spirit's work is to testify of Christ. We know that the Apostle Paul said he would glory in nothing else except Christ and Him crucified. But a lot of these so-called teachers, the cross gets left behind. Well, it's an example of, you know, the hardship that Jesus had to go through for us. But they don't understand that it was the price paid for our sins. There is no other Jesus. There are people who will talk about Jesus, but it's a Jesus of their own imagination. It's a Jesus that they've made up, and they've decided that this Jesus is the real Jesus. But that won't take Christ off of His throne. And He says, he who comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. So where's the litmus test? The litmus test was what has already been revealed. What has already been shown through the Gospels, through the teaching of the Apostle Paul. It was the Gospel that he brought to the Corinthians. It was the Gospel that caused them to be converted. And he says to them, don't go looking for another Jesus now. Go back to the original Gospel. This is the one. So there's the first is another Jesus. The second, it says, he says here, you received a different spirit. So if you receive a different spirit than what you have not received. Now notice in this word spirit is not capitalized, and it shouldn't be, because there are other spirits out there. There are demonic spirits. He already mentioned the deception of the devil here. Another, that you receive a different spirit which you have not received. It didn't come with the gospel. The Holy Spirit comes with the gospel, doesn't he? And he is always enough. And the Holy Spirit is always in agreement with Jesus and the gospel. There is no variation. There's no shadow of turning. There's absolute harmony between Christ and the Spirit. So if you receive a different spirit you have not received, then you know something is radically wrong. The Holy Spirit must always agree with the Word of God. And so there are many false deceptions out there. There will be some tremendous surprises on the day of judgment when people stand before the Lord and find out they weren't saved at all. They had a different Jesus in mind altogether. Oh, you're not the Jesus I thought you were. Well, it's too late now, friends. Or I was guided by a spirit. I can remember as a young believer, and I was enamored with the teachings of this particular lady at that time. She seemed to know so much. She claimed to be a prophetess of the Lord. And she would say things, and it would almost seem like they would come true. And actually, what began to happen as a young believer, I had been devouring the Word of God to know all that I could know about the Lord. But then I gradually, and I didn't even notice what was happening, I started reading the Word of God less and listening to her more. Not a good plan. And eventually, she got a revelation from God. And that revelation was God told her to go and sleep with a man who wasn't her husband. Can you imagine? Did God say that? No, it was another spirit. Now that's how deceived she was, self-deceived. But myself as a young believer, having begun to listen and to think that, you know, maybe this woman had this, you know, she was a prophetess of the Lord, I had to be careful to listen to what was said, I was very confused. As only a young believer, and all of a sudden, and I when I found out about it, I went to her and I said, this is not right, this is wrong. And she said, you know, the Bible says, judge nothing before the time, and don't touch the Lord's anointed, and all this. And I, for a period of time, I was left with terrible confusion. I knew it wasn't right, but at the same time, I wanted to be careful. I didn't want to go against the Lord. And you might say, how could you be so stupid, Pierre? But you can be deceived. Smooth talk, and you can be deceived. But the Lord set me free from that and released me from it all. And I challenged her and I said, this is wrong, and you need to repent of it. And when I did, oh, she began to prophesy. She prophesied me to hell and back. Oh, she did. How wicked I am, and that God was going to pour his judgments on me because I didn't understand the ways of the Lord. With a voice like that, thus saith the Lord, you have rebelled against God. You have not listened to his servant, etc., etc. And even that night, after this phone conversation that I had with her, I was troubled in the night thinking, have I gone against the Lord? But when I go back to the Word of God, and I go back to who Jesus really is, and I go back to the teachings of the Word of God, is there any question? No. None whatsoever. I think I've had 3 people during my ministry who have prophesied me to hell and who have declared the wickedness of who I am. But each time these people have proven themselves to be faulty and against the truths of the Word of God. That was the first one. I was only a young Christian. The other ones I handled a lot better after that. So there are different spirits that are out there with different messages. Don't listen to them. The Spirit of God is always in agreement with the Word of God. There will never be any aberration because he's the very author of the Word. Receiving a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, and you put up with it. A different gospel. Oh, a gospel of wealth, health, and prosperity, instead of the gospel of the cross. A gospel of death to self that the Bible gives us, rather than a gospel that elevates self. A gospel that points to man's ability, rather than man's sinfulness and God's provision. There's only one gospel. We know it's summarized in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, this is what is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. This is first importance. This is the center of the gospel message. We can never move away from it. And so even in our culture today, in evangelical Christianity, there are groups that are saying that Jesus Christ did not bear the wrath of God for our sins. That the cross was a great example of the love of God. But that Christ redeems us and he didn't need to do it at the cross. And these are supposed to be evangelical teachers, and some of whom I know who have moved into those paths and those directions. We need to be careful. We need to listen carefully to what is being spoken. The airwaves are full of false preachers and teachers. And we need to come back to the roots of the gospel. We need the real Jesus. We need the real Holy Spirit. And we need the real gospel. If you've been saved, then you know that you were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the person of Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit. But he was writing to them and said, you may well put up with it. You're bearing with these people who are coming along. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Paul says, listen, you know that I brought you the gospel. You know my position. Even though I'm untrained in speech. He already said that in the first epistle to the Corinthians. Said, you know, his speech is weak. But he says this, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. The truth has been revealed to you in all things about us. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Now, he didn't go and rob them, okay? He didn't go and steal from other churches. What he's saying is that I received from other churches so that when I went to you to present the gospel, that I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brothers came from Macedonia and supplied. In everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. He said, I didn't make the gospel with charge. I didn't come to you with a handout saying, you know, I'll preach to you if you'll give me money. He said, that's not what I did. You know that I was very careful in how I approached you. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. There were those who were coming and saying, Paul, he's passé. We've got a better message. We've got a better gospel. We can do things, and things can be done here that are going to do a lot better than what Paul could come up with. But Paul's conclusion to them about them is this: for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, no surprise, he says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Do you know how important it is for you to be diligent in the Word of God? For you to know the truth? For you to walk in the truth of the Word of God? To be careful to test what's being said and make certain that what is being said fits the Word of God, fits the emphasis of the Lord on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the cross, on the need of sinners being converted. When people go down these bypath meadows, suddenly they find some passage of scripture and it becomes the most important verse in the Bible. And in the meantime, the rest of scripture, the volume of scripture, is pointing to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they miss the boat and they pull other people down the wrong path. No, it says they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ, and no surprise. You know that the serpent in the garden was, do you know what the actual name for the serpent was? The shining one. It wasn't the snake that you see today. When that serpent appeared to Eve, he was the most glorious creature that had been created by God. Is he took the form of the most glorious creature, not the ugliest one. Don't you know what happens when he says, on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life? That the creature that had been used by Satan in order to deceive Eve was the most prettiest and the most glorious one. And that was the one that God caused a judgment to actually come on that creature because it was used by the devil. The devil came as an angel of light to Eve. He didn't come as a hissing serpent with his tongue flicking out. And he will come to you as an angel of light. He will present himself as righteous. The devil loves to robe himself in religion. He loves to robe himself. And he loves to quote scripture, by the way. What did he do when he came to tempt Jesus? Throw yourself down off of here, as it is written. Your angels will keep charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He said, it is written. The devil loves to quote scripture. So should I be cautious? Should I be careful? Absolutely. Should I weigh things carefully of what is being said and what is being presented? So it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They will look like the real thing, but their end will be according to their works. This is a strong warning that's given to the church of God. Because down through the ages, there have been so many isms that have come and gone. So many churches have found themselves going down bypath meadows because of somebody taking an emphasis in the wrong way and beginning to push people in that direction or draw them in that direction and moving them away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Moving them away from the gospel. Moving them away from this incredible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it becomes religion, and it becomes rules and regulations, and it becomes everything except what was really meant to be for us as the people of God. It's a profound warning, and Paul has finally crescendoed into this place where he says, now I just need you to pay close attention, because this is not the gospel. It's another gospel. This is not Jesus. It's another Jesus. This is not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit.
And what's the church?
Yes. The church that should know better. Absolutely. But they were caught up in other things. They were caught up in who is the most important. Remember? They were caught up in who's got the most important gifts. They were caught up in the flash and dash. And so afraid, I fear, is much of the Christian church today. Caught up in the presentation. And how exciting things are. And we can miss the real thing. Listen, it is Jesus himself that we need to be caught up with. He is all your Christianity. Take away Jesus and you have no Christianity at all. Can you imagine? They found another Jesus, a better Jesus than the one of the Word of God. No, there is none better. There's no better Holy Spirit than the Holy Spirit himself. And there's no better gospel than the one that has already been given to us, that's been revealed and that's been preached and declared clearly. In God's word. Oh, thank God that there is a true path. There is a straight path. There's a walk that we can have. Walking in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the great message of the gospel that has changed our lives and it changes the lives of others. I praise the Lord for it. I'll tell you a story. I know I've told it before. But I rejoice in it as I think about Chuck Templeton. Who once preached with Billy Graham. Oh, yes. And he says to Billy Graham, Billy, we need to get higher education here. We're saying the same message over and over again. And Billy said, Chuck, all I know is that when I preach this gospel, lives are changed. He said, there's nothing higher. There's no other place to go than this is where I'm going to go. Well, Chuck left all that behind, became an atheist, became against the things of God. And actually, he was, if you remember the program, W5. He was one of the originators of that program on CTV and had it for years and years on television, on CTV. But he wrote books about how God is dead. And many years later, 30, 40 years later, he actually was in a hotel room and he looks and the TV, we put the TV on, who did he see but his old buddy Billy Graham. And he said, I read this in the foreword to his book, Chuck Templeton's book. I wonder if old Billy's still saying the same old message. And he says, as he was reading, I was reading what he had to say. I was actually standing in Cole's bookstore, I think somewhere, and just had flipped open the book and read the introduction. He said, I was disgusted to learn that Billy was saying the same message 40 years later that he was saying back then. You know what? And you know what I said? I shouted out in the store. I didn't. I was so engrossed in what I was reading. I said, "Hallelujah!" Thank God that Billy Graham kept preaching the same message for 40 years. Praise the Lord that people were converted and will be converted, and that we can preach the same message. It might be simple, friends, but it transforms lives. It's the only message that changes people. It's the only one. And the tragedy of this man who had heard the gospel and had actually preached it, but didn't somehow believe it, could go through his life with other messages that have no power to change anyone's life. I praise the Lord for the gospel, and I praise the Lord for Jesus and the Spirit of the living God, and for the Word of God here that gives us clarity so that we can test things and know that which is of the Lord and that which is not. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now that we have such a gospel. We have such a Savior. We have the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we never depart far from you. Oh, Lord, when we take a little steps away from you, Lord, rescue us from ourselves, from our foolishness. And though the devil may whisper in our ear, and though he may give us something shiny and bauble to kind of try and cause us to go in another direction, oh, let our eyes be fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we know the Word of God so that we have a response for every temptation the devil may throw at us. And we give you praise tonight for the glorious gospel. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You put a different cable in?
Yeah, so that's a cable with this one now.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing happened. I pushed a little something under it. Yeah. I don't know how you can change that.